Hello, and welcome to the podcast for all of us who love to read about the same two idiots over and over. We talk to the authors and the fans of the brilliant world of Dramione Fix and learn how they got here. It's all about what I like to call the Dramione effect. A quick disclaimer before you get into this episode, we talk about explicit rated fix on this podcast and are known to use vulgar language, discuss sex, drugs, and other possibly triggering items. So as always with fanfiction, mind your tags. You can find all the relevant info about this episode in your show notes. Now sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to the Dramione Effect. We have Court, aka hypothetically, on AO3. She has so wonderfully just made herself available to come on this and do random trope countdown with me. But first, before we jump into that, I would love to talk to her about her recently finished first multi-chapter Dramione fic, which is Failsafe. If you've listened to a couple of episodes, you heard a few back from Daedraline, who absolutely wrecks this fic so hard. And she sent it to me and I devoured it. And it is amazing. So welcome, Court.
Hi. Hello, hello.
First of all, every single episode, I always ask, how did you find yourself getting into fanfic?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So it was 2020, pandemic. I've always been a Harry Potter fan. I have, my whole house is decorated in Harry Potter, but I saw a clip of Breathman's and Battle Scars. It was the scene where she loses her V card. And I read the blurb on the TikTok. And so I went to the fic and started reading it from that scene. And I read a couple chapters. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I need to start from the beginning.
I've missed some things.
Because I just started that and I just kept going. I was like, let me start it over. So I started it over. And then that month I read like 2 million words and it just never stopped. I just kept going.
So wow, Breathman's and Battle Scars being your first one. That's pretty, I loved that fic so much. I think that was like probably in my first 10 that I read when I started to. So out of all of the millions of words that you have read of Dramione or even other ships, like which one has been your favorite?
My all-time favorite fanfic is The Fallout. It will always be The Fallout. I've never had anything top The Fallout for me.
What do you think made it your favorite? Was it just like the whole story as a whole or like particular things?
I think it was the real representation of war and what that would look like, because we see them in school like during this war, and in The Fallout, they're not in school. They're in safe houses. It really dives deep into the like darkness of war and like the grief. And to watch Hermione process all of these things during it. And it's kind of like unreliable at the very beginning because it keeps jumping timelines. It jumps months. It jumps like it's not until you get the story really going and then it slows down. So I just thought it was beautifully done, especially when the grief and loss of war and how you come out of that damaged was so beautiful. And I felt Dramione was very realistic, the way that they fell in love slash, you know, came to be. It felt like it could be real. So The Fallout's always my favorite.
I agree with, I guess, the building of their relationship, because it took a long time. Like, obviously, you know, he's the untrustworthy one in the beginning and it just builds from there. Like she has to like be able to trust him before she can even like think about anything else.
And they love, he beat the shit out of each other at one point.
Right, seriously?
They're like on the battlefield, just
kicking it out. Mentally, physically, everywhere, yeah.
There's a war going on. Can y'all like get it together?
So I listened to the podfic of that one. Oh. Like when I kind of went in phases with it. Because it's a lot, I mean, it's a lot to listen to. Because it is, like you said, it's very emotionally charged.
Yeah,
but it's a great one. Since we're doing like the trope challenge and, you know, tags come into play, like what are the tags when you go into a fic? Like, do you look for specific tags?
A Draco POV. It's so hard for me to read just Hermione's point of view. And I think it's because I relate to Draco so much more than Hermione. So being in her head sometimes can be like, it's fine.
Unnerving.
Like I love being in her head, but Draco, I just resonate with him more. I think it's a Gemini thing.
Perhaps.
But blonde, Gemini, and trauma. So hand in hand.
Yep.
But
there you go. So
mostly a Draco. I also like a softer Draco. I do like when he's toxic, but I do lean towards more when he's toxic, but not towards Hermione.
Oh, yeah.
Those are mostly what but I read everything. I will read absolutely anything. There are no lines.
Yeah, I love a Draco POV too. I am, like you, more likely to read something from his POV than I am from Hermione's, except when it is a BAMF Hermione.
Yes.
I love that POV. Like, I am down with that. And speaking of, like, BAMF Hermione, let's talk about failsafe.
Okay.
What was the prompt? Because it's so different. It's just such a different, just give a little backstory on it, like in case people haven't read it.
Okay. So Dramati Aesthetics she does a lot of edits on TikTok. Me and her were talking one night. We were having conversations and I have plot bunnies, so many of them. And we started talking about the concept of, it was a little bit different than what it ended up being, but of Hogwarts having, you know, a failsafe and something like going wrong. So it stuck with me for a long time. And over like a year, I like just stewed on it. I did a lot of one shots, but I was writing an original novel. So it was like, I didn't want to put the time and energy into it. And then I just couldn't get it out of my head, and the characters just kept adding in my head. So I decided to put it on paper, and it was supposed to be 10 short chapters, and it turned into so much more. They take control. I don't really plot. I have like where I want it to end and where I want it to begin, but I would go into chapters not knowing what they were going to do. I just knew the purpose of the chapter. So a lot of it was a surprise to me too. I love how it turned out. It's not for everyone. It's very much, Draco's very unreliable. He's a very unreliable narrator in it. And it goes with the theme of it, because the castle really is just doing the most. It was just a concept that came to me a long time ago, and I just kept building on it in my head, and finally I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna put it out. If only I read it, that's great. And then it just turned into so much more.
From just getting the recommendation to read it, like I said before, Deirdre Lane is like super fan. She she was like, you have to read this, like literally every time. Have you read it yet? Have you read it yet? And I was like, no, I'm waiting. And like literally as soon as you finish it, she's like, fucking stop, go read it.
Yes. The story behind that is so funny, because we were sprinting and I was just so tired. I said, what if I just land a spaceship? Like, what, I could literally do anything in this chapter. Like, what if I just land a spaceship? And she was like, just land a spaceship. I was like, you don't understand. Like, I can't just land a spaceship. And so she stayed up all night and read the whole fic just to figure out what I was talking about. And I woke up to just hundreds of voice messages and texts about it. So it was very funny how she came about reading it.
Well, yeah, she's definitely a huge failsafe proponent for sure. I loved reading it. It was like, it was so much fun. Like, it's tense. There's a lot going on. So just holding that plot together and all of the different things that are going on, like in each of the rooms, it's like every part of the castle is like its own insane escape room.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And there were so many people were like, oh, it was worded a little weird. But it's like, it was worded away certain ways. And there's so many different little hints in the story that I'm like, yeah, you think it's weird. It's weird until you finish it and then you're like, oh, now I get it.
Right Yeah. And there's definitely some plot twists in there for sure. We're not gonna spoil anything for sure in here. Yeah, there was some crazy plot twists in there that I was like, wait a second, I need to like take a minute, go back, reread it, and be like, did that really just happen? Are you okay?
Yeah,
wait a second, that's insane. Hold on, I need to like reprocess right now, because I don't know what just happened, because what's in front of me right now is literally not what I thought I had. So yeah, it was just so much fun. It was like getting your world turned upside down, but in a, like a really cool, different way. So yeah. I like just really appreciated the, I don't know, it's not your same, it's not the formulaic Dramini that you like, not saying those are bad, I'm not, just it was so different in the way that you wrote it that I was like, I really appreciated all the time and effort and everything that you put into that. So thank you from a very, very grateful reader.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. So what else? I know you have your Malfoy Men Are Not Heroes one shot, which I found fantastic also. Do you have any more of those coming out?
Yes, I actually have 4 different parts that go with that. But okay. I put back burner because it was getting confusing to write 2 different Dracos because they're 2 different Dracos. So I have the 3rd almost complete. That series will continue. I love writing them because I feel like I have like no boundaries. Like I can make them anything that I want. Yes, there are more parts coming out for that one.
Sweet. Because those were fun. They were fun little reads for sure.
It was one POV that someone was like, you should write this. I was like, no, I don't want to. And then I wrote the POV and then I was like, fine, I just kept writing it.
You're like, wait, now I can't stop. Shit. Just those, like the little TikTok videos that you do, like with the plot bunnies, and then just like little POV thoughts. I'm always like, oh God, I really want to read that story. And then I'll look and I'm like, shit, it's just a plot bunny.
I am so lucky that I've had so many people pick them up and write them because I could not do them. The Bright City is actually writing one of them. It's her whip as of now. It's actually my POVs. So I get so excited when someone, even if they just take a part of it and make it their own. Love seeing it.
It becomes such a like a little collaboration. Like even though you only, you know, you kind of gave the impetus to start it, you're always like, ooh, what's going to come out of this? Like, how's it going to come together? What's the cake going to taste like?
Yeah.
So do you want to get into our random trope tag countdown?
I'm ready. I worked hard for this. So.
We both worked hard for this. We've been planning this for a couple, I don't know, like a week now. And we originally picked 20 different tropes and tags, and then we kind of whittled them down. We gave ourselves 14 to work with, and each of us had to choose one fic to represent each of the tags. And we're just going to go old school, pick them out of a bowl, and recommend some fics for all of you. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number one is co-workers.
Oh, okay. So you want me to go first?
Okay. Yeah. But let me say this. If we both pick the same fic, it's 1 point. If we pick different fics, it's 2 points.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm ready. Okay. So I picked The Memory of You by Potion Chemist.
Oh, tell me about that because I have not read that one.
Oh, you haven't. Okay. So they're co-workers. It's messy. It's their co-workers. And Hermione and Draco are having an affair. And then Astoria gets pregnant and Hermione obliviates Draco. And he's out of the workforce for a while. He stays home. He had an accident, but then he decides to come back to work. And he's drawn to Hermione and he doesn't know why. And she has all these memories of their whole affair. And he eventually finds out and we kind of go through the process. He wants to see it. So he comes over and they look in the pensieve of all the memories of their affair. It's a really messy fic.
Wow.
Hermione's dating Blaze. And
oh shit, okay.
Not too fond of this whole arrangement. And you find out a lot of different plot twists along the way of what actually happened. It's heavy, but it is so good.
It sounds amazing.
Yes.
Okay, so that is The Memory of You by Potion Chemist.
Yes.
So my choice is Choice and Chance by Chaos and Crumpets.
Have not read that.
They work in the Department of Mysteries together. They go into the time room. I guess they're kind of, there's one position open. And so they both go into the time room because they're like kind of competing for this position. It's like the craziest room. There's all these like strings connecting everything, connecting time. And in the room, it's kind of like a crazy Sherlock Holmes type board, but it's all over the room. And they walk in and the person that's in there is like, do not fucking touch anything. And of course, Hermione is like, what? What's that? She kind of gets mesmerized by it. And she reaches out and she doesn't even think about it, but she barely touches it. And he like went to grab her hand at the same time to tell her not to touch it. And they get immediately transported back to the beginning of the war. So they have to go all the way back and then fight their way back to the present time.
Oh gosh, I love time.
It is crazy. But so what happens is they're in the ministry. They don't realize that they got time transported because everything is exactly the same until they walk into the lobby and there's the posters everywhere, like, you know, wanted number one, wanted number two. Yes, there's her face is all over the place because, you know, she's wanted and the ministry is now run by the Death Eaters and they're like freak out. So he's supposed to be in Malfoy Manor.
Interesting.
But very good because there are two Dracos the entire time because they go to Malfoy Manor and get in time Draco to help them get back to their time. That's crazy.
That sounds so good.
I mean, there's a lot of like plot and there's a lot of changing and they're going through time. And so they're like reliving things and trying not to influence time as much as they can not influence time. All right. Next one. Found Family.
Okay. Mine is the Wait and Hope series. That will always be my favorite Found Family because it's not only the Slytherins, but like in Wait and Hope, get everybody. Because we either sometimes just get the Slytherins or just get Draco being adopted by the Gryffindors. Like, to get a whole mix is so fun. There's a lot of drama. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the Wait and Hope is my favorite Found Family.
Okay. So you get 2 points on that one because I did not pick that one. I picked Three Wizards and a Baby by Lizzie Carlisle.
I did read that one. Yes.
It's so good. So the Found Family comes because Hermione ends up pregnant and she kind of doesn't know what to do. And she's best friends with Theodore. She ends up at Knott Manor, like kind of like trying to hide away for her pregnancy. Well, also Blaise and Draco and Theo are all living there. It's their bachelor pad. So she ends up crashing their bachelor pad and then everybody else shows up along the way. So there's everybody's there and it's a great fic and it has a sequel or like two sequels, I think.
I love that we get Lucius and Narcissa in it because it's very rare we get both. Really enjoy having them both in it.
Yeah, it's a great one. I love that fic. Okay, next one. Dilf Draco.
Oh, okay. So I went by so many different ones, but where is it? I think it's Apothecarum by Ladykins 347.
Aparicium?
Yes.
I love that one.
That is what I picked because I liked how messy Hermione was.
She was messy.
She was so messy. That first dinner, I was part of it when I was making my list and I was rereading it and he was like, how old are you? And I was like, oh God, I need to reread this whole thing again.
Well, and the fact that she charmed his hair.
He was like so mad that he thought that he was a liar. And I love when kids are very like to the point and he's so smart. He's a perfect mix of them, I think. He's like, no,
oh, totally.
And everybody's like, no, it's yeah, and, no, it's not, it's charmed. And she yeah. goes, excuse me?
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
For real? Yeah.
Yes. Basically, Hermione and Draco get pregnant, but she gets freaked out and she moves to the US and never tells him. She barely tells anybody that she's pregnant. I think she only tells like Harry and Ginny and that's it. Nobody knows that she has a kid. And she ends up moving or she comes back for like a vacation. Little does she know that Draco and Harry and Ginny are like best fucking friends now. Because she's not in their lives at all. So she's like completely removed. She doesn't understand. So she brings her child. He's like six.
I think, yeah, he's six.
Yeah, he's like six. She brings the boy back, but she knows that Draco is his dad and he's got fucking platinum hair. So she charms his hair brown to hide him. And then Draco shows up in the living room and it just all goes to hell.
He stays for dinner and it just turns into a mess. Good.
Oh, but it ends up so good. Okay, you get 2 points because I picked Proximate by In Dreams.
Me and Maggie were just talking about that. Yes, because she just read it.
So in this one, Draco and Hermione end up hooking up at a bar and they kind of get tipsy and they end up going back to his place. Well, when she leaves his place, she realizes that he lives next door to her new apartment where she just moved in because she broke up with Ron. So now they're next door neighbors and he is like a huge Quidditch player, which Quidditch Draco is like top tier. And it ends up that he has a child with Astoria, but Astoria is great in this one. They're like co-parenting, like grown up and, you know, not being dicks. We appreciate that. But Proximate is amazing.
It is so good.
All right. Next. Dum-da-dum. Ooh, Smut, PWP, Porn with Plot.
Okay. I did Capere she changed her name. It's ML Books. And it's a weird concept. There's a lust potion. So Draco overhears two boys talking about drugging Hermione at a party. For some reason, I don't know exactly why, with lust potion. And Draco sets out to protect her. But with this potion in her system, she has to get off like every hour. But she can't do it herself. So it is literally just each chapter is him getting her off in a different place in Hogwarts because she is like on this potion that these two boys drugged her with. So it's just smut. All of it's smut with a very tiny, tiny bit of. But there, it's good because there is that like plot of like, why are they drugging her? Like, who are these kids?
Right.
All that out, but and why Draco thought that he was the perfect person to help, I don't know.
He just decided, you know, it's just, yes, it's happening. Okay, so I actually picked two because I couldn't choose. Neither of them were Capere. The first one is Good by Music.
I've only read a few chapters of that, yes.
Okay, yeah, it is smutty smut spice. We love it. Has no plot. It is literally just sex. And the other one has a bit of plot, which is Sex and Occlumency by Grandal.
I have read that one. Yes.
Okay. The plot of that one is Hermione and Ron are in a relationship and she has fantasies that he is not willing nor can he fulfill. And so Pansy is the proprietress of a, I guess you could call a service. And Hermione doesn't realize that it's Pansy when she employs this service. And she asks for Draco because he is her fantasy. And so Pansy pulls in a favor and is like, hey, could you do this? And he's like, yeah, I'll fucking do it. But in reality, Hermione doesn't know that it's actually Draco. She thinks it's like a fantasy version or somebody who is like polyjuicing us. So yeah, they end up, it's a lot, but it's great.
Yes, it has some of my favorite tropes on it.
So. Yes, there's so many things in that fic that are amazing. That's why I couldn't pick. I was like, we got straight porn or we have something that, you know, has a little story to it. So, all right. Okay. War AU.
Let me scroll up. Dragon in the Dark by Graceful Lioness is one of my favorite War AUs that I feel like doesn't get talked about enough.
Shit. I didn't pick it, but that was the one I was going to pick.
So we looked out. I went between so many, but I was like, no, this is one of my favorites. So that I picked that.
That is so good.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me about that one. I mean, even though I already know.
So it is, Draco, he is an assassin. So Voldemort is dead, but the Death Eaters take over still. There's still a war just because he's dead. So there's a power imbalance, kind of. But Draco is an assassin, and he's tasked with killing people. He's still trying to protect his mother. Then he is tasked with killing Hermione, and he just can't do it. So he turns himself over to the ministry and switches sides. It's a fic of him. Almost like he's part of the war, but he still struggles. We still see him struggle with all of it. And then we get some other people that turn to his side, and he gets himself into trouble a lot. He doesn't like to listen. So I think the parts is they're like, you cannot do that. And he was like, oh, I wouldn't. And then he does it.
And he does it anyway. They're like, oh, don't touch this stove, it's hot. And he's like, fuck you.
Like, he was like, I think he's like, oh, I'm just gonna go kill some people. And they're like, you cannot do that. And he's like, I wouldn't. And they're like, oh no, they're dead. And he's like, I don't know
how that happened.
I was here the whole time. But yes, I love Assassin's Creed.
That pick is so, so good. Okay, my pick was, I'm probably going to butcher how to say this, but it's Caput Mortuum by Croft is Procrastinating.
I have not read that. I don't think so.
This one is great. So this one has Voldemort is dead, but it's kind of the same thing. Lucius is the minister for magic. So he filled the space that Voldemort did not. So Lucius is the most powerful wizard in the area. And so he is such an asshole. He's so terrible in this. Draco is basically being held captive in the manor because he tried to defect to the order, but he got caught. And so now all he is allowed to do is basically like leave his room for like to be kind of the face of the Death Eaters because he's a younger, you know, he's the younger generation. He's obviously good looking. So they trot him out as propaganda. And so Lucius captures Hermione. Or she gets captured, or I can't remember the exact part of it, but she gets captured somehow and forces her and Draco together and then thinks that marrying them together is going to be like the worst thing. Like, you know, he's going to ruin Hermione. He's going to take Draco down. Well, little do they know that these two together are the most powerful fuckers. So putting them together made them an unstoppable team that basically just fucks Lucius's plan.
Okay, now I need to really read that.
It's so good. It is so good. Like, I read it and then I was like, oh, fuck, I got to go back and read it again. I think I've probably read it two times at least. Okay, next one. Eighth Year.
Okay, so this is one of my comfort authors and it's The Bigger the Feet by Ruby Krishna. Anything she writes, I will stop everything to read it. She writes such good stuff. Have you read that one?
What's it called? The Bigger the Feet?
Bigger the Feet.
No, I've read Ruby Krishna before, but I have not read that one.
It's a fun one. I was like, I have so much dark stuff. Let me put something fun, but it's pretty much a game between the girls in eighth year. It started off funny of like talking about feet size versus dick size and
right.
if it's true or not, but there's a few boys that no one's ever been able to confirm or deny. And so they start a bet and kind of task people to figure it out. And Hermione gets pulled Draco. So she has to figure it out. It's very smutty. It's very funny. Like Padma gets Terry Boots and Daphne gets Blaze and like Lisa gets Theo. And I think there is some Panville in it as well, but it's
nice.
Just,
we love a Panville.
Just a fun game of, so there's a lot of smut in it. Don't want to ruin
we
too much.
It.
I really liked how fun they were. It's almost mm-hmm. like a cleanser in a way
where they're actually having fun and they're not like worried about mortal peril,
and there's no like beef between like Pansy and Hermione. Like they're all friends. It's eighth year, and so yeah. it's just fun to see this type of like dynamic between them where they're actually acting like children. Well,
right,
adults, but
yeah, yeah, young adults,
children, but adults.
Yeah, 18 year olds,
full adults, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to have to read that one for sure. So my pick is Friends, Enemies, and All the Other People by Lost Poet.
Have not read that.
Okay. This is a great one. It's pretty heavy in times because Hermione in a very abusive relationship with Ron. This fic is not Ron friendly. So if you are a Ron Weasley lover, perhaps this might not be the fic for you. He is a not so nice guy in this. Pretty terrible, honestly. In order to initiate more house unity, McGonagall chooses, I think it's like two of the eighth years from each of the houses. So eight kids go and they get to switch houses. So like Blaze from Slytherin ends up in Hufflepuff. You know, Michael Corner ends up in Gryffindor and Hermione ends up in Slytherin. She is so thankful at first because it is her opportunity to get away from Ron and to kind of make a new start. But what's waiting for her in Slytherin is the only thing that's good that's waiting for her in Slytherin is Draco. And oh, Pansy too. And Theo, obviously. But Astoria is a mean girl in this. So very mean. And her sister Daphne hates her. And it is just like a really cool take on Slytherin Hermione. I love this one.
Interesting.
It is interesting. And the relationship between Hermione and Draco, because he becomes like her absolute protector. Like he is her like watchdog. It's pretty great.
I'll have to add that one.
And it's a pretty easy, quick read. I mean, except for the fact that there's like the heaviness about her being, there is violence, domestic violence. So there are like, mind your tags. There are some triggering things in that fic, but overall, I loved it. Okay. The next one is Morally Gray, Draco Malfoy.
Oh, I forgot. Let me see what I
want. This is the one that I struggled with because I had like four. That
okay.
I was like, I really love this one.
It is probably a scam. I don't know if you've read that by Kat.
Okay.
It starts off as a texting, like a social media AU, but it turns into a fic. Like it starts like the first
okay.
chapters is just pictures of text messages. And then it uh-huh. turns into a fic. Hermione is texting Ron, apologizing. She's a librarian, of wanting him to scare her in the library, like a little spicy time. Mm-hmm. Ron freaks out on her and she accidentally texts Draco apologizing. And Draco plays along for a second, mm-hmm. trying to figure out like who it is and what she's apologizing for. And then it turns into Draco. Ron is not so nice in this. He's also not a very nice man.
Yeah.
But it turns very steamy very fast. I would mind your tags. There's like a lot of CNC, a lot of it. It's a fun time, but it has at one point he has like these shadows coming off of him of dark magic. And I was like, and there's art to it. I was like, yeah, this is him. This is my man. It's fine.
This is my man.
This is my man.
It is probably a scam.
Probably a scam is what it's okay. called. Yeah.
And that's Catmint in Time?
Yes.
Okay. I did not pick that one. The first one that I was going to pick is Bloody, Slutty, and Pathetic, but I wreck that fucking thing on every single episode, so I'm not going to do it again, but I had to say it. I picked Major Ego Death Eater by Winter Wells.
I have not read that.
I just finished, she was on the show. I just finished editing her episode. That's kind of one of the reasons why I went with this, because I like went so hard on this book, but it's so great. I want everybody to read this because it is fantastic. Draco is a Death Eater, obviously, and he ends up at a safe house for the Order, and he finds a child in this safe house, and he for some reason wants to, like, he takes the kid, kills Molly Weasley, takes the kid, right? And the whole time he's like, this is nowhere to put a child, like this is a disgusting, like, place. Like, he has so much judgment, and it's so him. There's just like, what the fuck is this? Like, why are you hiding a child? It smells like piss in here. Like, it's funny but horrible. So he takes this little 4-year-old girl and takes her back to the manor where the Voldemort and everybody are fucking living, and he's hiding her and trying to do the right thing because he knows that she's Hermione's child, but he thinks that she's Hermione and Ron's child. So he's kind of holding her hostage, aka he thinks he's taking care of her to, like, save her, but he has this attachment to her. The banter between them, any scenes between him and this little girl whose name is Rose, he thinks it's Rose Weasley, but it turns out that it's not, technically, as you find out and you go through the fic. The first part of it is all him with this little girl and all the shit that happens, and it is so fucking good. But you go in flashbacks in the middle of it, and he does some, like, really crazy shit, but it is so great.
I have never heard of a fic like that, so that's exciting.
Oh, it is so good. The episode that's coming out, I think it not this next week but the week after, it's like it takes, like, Hermione and it flips you on your head, and then it, like, kicks you in the stomach, and then it knocks you down a hill, and then, like, drowns you in the lake, and then it revives you.
So the best kind.
The best kind. It's so good. It is still a work in progress, but she does update it pretty regularly. I think she's on, like, an every 2-week schedule, but yeah, it's fucking great. All right. Or Draco.
Okay, so I picked, it's been a while since I've read it. It was one of the first ones, The Fool, the Emperor, and the Hangman.
I think this is on my TBR, but I have not read it.
It's something. It's 10 years after the war, and Hermione lives in the woods off the grid. She's kind of like in the Forbidden Forest area. Nobody messes with her. She hasn't really been seen in society. And then Professor McGonagall, she's headmistress McGonagall, is murdered. And Draco is an Auror. And Hermione is seen at Hogwarts. And he asks her some questions. So pretty much, it's not really giving away the concept because it's in the blurb. Harry is responsible. Harry kind of went crazy after the war in, like, a mental institution. And he broke out and he killed her. But he ends up going after Hermione. So there is, I would read triggers because there is a lot that happens in those first few chapters that my mouth was hanging open. I was like, did I just read that? Because it's heavily detailed. And then so Draco kind of takes care of Hermione after that. And she's trying to help Draco solve what's happening or to catch Harry. You do get Lucius and Narcissa in it, and I really liked them. You don't get a very, like, a vamp Hermione. She's not in that. She is, like, meek in this one.
Yeah.
In mind.
She's probably traumatized. The girl needs a fucking break.
Girl, what happened to her? I would be traumatized, too. Just around. Yeah, so that was what I picked.
I picked The Best Mistake by Chelsea Writes a Fic.
I have not read that one either.
Oh, this one is so good. So they are both Aurors in this one. Hermione dumps Ron because he's cheating on her with Pansy. You start the whole fic at Pansy and Ron's horrible wedding at the Burrow. And Hermione is invited to this wedding and she feels like she has to go because, like, literally everybody else in her life is there. And even though it's her ex, she's like, fuck it, I'll just show up, right? Well, she ends up at the table with all of the Slytherins. Her and Draco get drunk and decide to go home together. So it causes a huge scene. All this shit goes on. So they end up, you know, going home and sleeping together. Well, she gets pregnant and they are Auror partners.
Oh, God.
Right? So now she has to kind of come to grips with the fact that she's pregnant with his baby. And Theo is a doctor in this. And he ends up, like, she ends up asking him, like, what is fucking wrong with me? And he tells her she's pregnant. He has to keep the secret. But Draco's his best friend, and that whole thing is just hilarious, like him trying to keep a secret from Draco, and he's terrible at it. So the Theo in this is amazing. But yeah, so then there's this whole, like, she wants, you know, she wants to go do her thing. She wants to go be an Auror, and he, as soon as he finally finds out she's pregnant, of course, he goes into overprotective mode, and he's like, no, absolutely not. And then it's this whole thing between them of, you know,
her being stubborn and him.
Yes, her being stubborn, him being protective. And then they have to kind of get to know each other in a different way because, you know, they decide that they're going to have this baby. And, you know, she's like, I can do it on my own. He's like, the fuck you will. And yeah, everything after that. There is a whole entire subplot of, you know, like Death Eaters coming back and like all this danger and all of these other things that happen, which I won't spoil because it's pretty fucking great. It was a whip for the longest time, and she finally finished it, like, I think last month. So it is complete, and it is amazing.
That is going up to the top.
Right? It's so good.
I accidental pregnancy. I'm like, I don't like kids in fix, but give me an accidental pregnancy. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but it is good. It's okay, next one. Idiots in Love.
Okay, let's see what I have. Okay, Baby, Anytime You're Ready, I'm Waiting.
Oh.
By Z3.
I love this one. I love it
so much. It's one of my comfort reads. I've read it 3 times.
Yes.
I finished it one day, and then I started it over again, and then I made one of my best friends read it. I was like, hey, read this. I'm going to read it with you. Because it's such a comfort. It's such a comfort.
And
read.
It's so short.
It is short. It's like a palindrome one where you read it, you need something between like heavy fix. But it's pretty much just, you know, Draco and Hermione being idiots who love each other, mostly Draco.
Oblivious to the fact that.
Yes. And I love that Pansy kind of was like, oh, okay, we're going on vacation and y'all are going to have to room together.
Uh-huh.
And what? And they're. A surprise pairing in this that I never knew that I needed until it happened, because I was like, oh, these two people would be so good together, like they're vibing. And then there's a one shot of them, and it's something I did not know that I would like. It's Ron and Blaze.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
I completely forgot about that subplot. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you see it in the story.
It's implied in the story, yeah. And you're like, that's interesting. They're awful cozy.
Uh-huh.
Now that you mentioned it, I was like, oh yeah, that did happen.
And I love drinking games, and I love like friend vacations. So it just had like all the best.
Yeah.
One said it has all those tropes, but she doesn't make it like cliche.
No, because ZB like just kills everything.
Everything.
Yeah. Okay. My pick is Pathetically Thirsty by Lady Ursa.
Haven't heard that one either.
Okay. Hermione has been obsessed with him for the longest time. He has also been obsessed with her, but he will not give her any indication because he's just a pompous ass to her. And she's like, there's absolutely no way that he's interested in me. Even though he is, I believe he's the head of magical games in the ministry. And she gets a job in something that she doesn't like, which is international relations, just so she can be in his presence.
I low-key love that for her.
Oh, it's so good. And so they end up having to do the Quidditch World Cup together. And she is so swotty in this. Oh my God. She is so she learns like, I don't know, however many languages like she's speaking in this because she's the head of, you know, international cooperation or whatever. So she has to know more languages than anybody. And like one of her things is that she knows more languages than Draco. And it is just so, it's so completely her to like want to one up somebody every single time. Like the thirst in this is so good. Yeah,
I love great. That she chased him. I'm
oh, absolutely. Him. She got the job she hated. She's like, literally, I fucking hate this job. But I get to hang around him and I get to like annoy the shit out of him because like that kind of like that's her foreplay, is that like insulting. She loves it. So this, it's a great one because it's full of banter. And the Theo in that one is amazing too.
I love all Theos.
Right? So. Okay. The next one is Slow Burn.
So it is the Fallout, but we've already talked about it, so we don't
That one is definitely a slow burn for sure. So you picked The Fallout. I picked Detrique.
I have
A
not read that one either.
hysterical. Okay, this one is an epic. I'm not going to get into the whole entire thing because it is fucking long, but we love it. Basically, Draco doesn't even factor into this until, like, I don't know, three quarters of the way through where they finally come back together. Their relationship in this is so, I chef's fucking kiss. It is so good because he is the typical Draco asshole for the majority of the beginning of the fic until you get into obviously what at the end of the Deathly Hallows. Like, once it hits that point, it's all conjecture. It's all fan fiction. And it is so fucking good. So much shit happens. On another episode, I called it like the General Hospital of Dramione.
That sold me.
Yeah, it is like literally every day there's like something different. So right now there's 107 chapters planned. I think they're on 105.
Goodness gracious.
And every, like, the last chapter had one of the best like smut scenes. They're having sex and he's musical in this. So he like plays the piano. He composes music. And he was composing a song based on her sounds, like all of the different ways that she says his name when they're having sex. It is so fucking great.
That is like swoon worthy.
Right?
I love when people write Draco so differently and like give
Oh,
him.
he is a thoughtful motherfucker at the end of this.
So
Like
you're
the
saying,
beginning, he
yeah,
has so much growth in this fic. I was like, I'm so proud of him. He's fake, but I'm so proud of him.
they don't seem fake anymore.
No, they're not. Okay, next one. Enemies to lovers.
Okay, so the only enemy I did Secrets Unmasked because it's
Okay.
one of the only enemies to lovers that I've really read besides Isolation. I can't remember one that I've read where they truly did not like each other at
Right.
all.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my favorites, they kind of pine and then, end up together. But Secrets Unmasked,
They hate the fuck out of each other.
I'm like, I don't like violence. I like soft Draco, but then the violence, I'm like, oh
When
yes.
they're shooting each other.
When she, sh oh,
They were really shocked.
I reread that scene too many times. I should go to therapy, but like, it is so good.
That is an epic, that fucking fic.
It's a ride. It is
Yeah.
one of top favorites. It's
You
in
can't.
there.
Yeah, you can't top that one. That one is that. Okay, mine is The Water Gah by Smokey Baltic.
You're speaking everything that I've never read.
Okay, this one is pretty short. I think it's only like 10 chapters, but it starts when they're in Malfoy Manor and they've just been brought by the Snatchers. Hermione's on the fucking floor of the room being tortured by Bellatrix, and he grabs her and he apparates them out, and they lose their wands. They're in the middle of fucking nowhere. He gets his leg splinched, and it is basically them hating each other as they trek across Scotland.
So she like you saved me, but you hate me. That's great.
Yes, so it, but you don't, because they were both, you don't really understand, like, while you're doing it, who apparated who, because they both had the idea at the same time, and that's why they got fucking stuck in the middle of nowhere, because they were both trying to go different places. And he like grabbed her hand. They lose their wands on the way, so she can do like a wandless incendio and like barely any water. Like, those are the two wandless charms that she has. Thankfully, she has her bag full of shit that like keeps them going through the whole entire thing, but it is literally them trekking across the Scottish Highland. They hate each other so fucking much for like the first like three or four chapters. And then they actually start talking and they realize that they are so similar. That's why they hate each other. They're equal.
Yeah.
And but he can't take that, and neither can she, because she doesn't want to be equal to him, and he definitely doesn't want to be equal to her. But they're like literally the most matched. So yeah, it's, but there's not a lot of smut in it at all. It is mostly emotional and intelligent conversation. But it is so good.
There's always those fics that you won't miss the smut. There's
No. Yeah, there's like one scene by like the end, but the way the ending of it is so fucking good. Okay, next one. Hurt Comfort.
okay, this bitter end is my favorite Hurt Comfort. When she first told me she was going to write it, I was like, oh, I don't do second chance.
And
Like,
that is Noctis X.
yes, it is. And it, I was like, I don't do second chance. Like, I don't know. And then she was like, sent me the premise of it. I was like, sold. I am sold. And I just love the way that she writes them, which it's, Draco and Hermione. You've read it, haven't you?
I have not read that one. I've read Regression, but I have not read This Bitter End.
It is, this fic is everything to me, so I'm biased. So
Okay, I will
everything is,
read it.
Starts off with Hermione. She is a healer, and there is a almost like a magical illness that drains your magical core to zero, and you turn into a squib. And it's mostly towards purebloods, and so like Arthur Weasley is one of her patients, and he's so giddy about losing his magic though. So like
he wants to be a muggle so bad.
We come to find out at the very beginning that Hermione and Draco were once in a relationship. They both wanted more, but it was kind of casual situationship. It ended badly. We figure out why, but he comes to her because he has it. He's let it go for 2 years, desperate to cure him because she knows what his magic feels like. And so as he loses his magic and comes to term with it, it is so beautiful. It hurts so bad. Especially because we get to see from both sides of like how they felt when things ended and how it ended and how like they could have communicated better. And
right.
So it's heavy. It is heavy because it's like medical wise. And,
right. Which Noctis Maggie does so fucking well.
That's so good. But I think what I like about it is you get that, but you also get the flashbacks. So like in the flashbacks, it's like, bam, smut. Like, gate, like we're seeing their old relationship. You kind of get like a mix of both.
That one's gonna have to go to the top for sure. Mine is Timeless by Alexander Emerson.
Love it. Yes.
This fic hurt me so bad. I was like literally crying in my bed reading this.
Yes.
At like 2 a.m. with my iPad turned on low, like so my husband could sleep next to me, and I was just sobbing.
When you were talking about the dual Dracos and the other one, I was like, oh, that reminds me of Timeless. Like, I love the two different Dracos and two different timelines.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
so, if you haven't read Timeless, Draco gets hit by a curse and jumps through time. So it's based on like the time traveler's wife, and he is jumping through time. Former Draco from the past is going forward in time, and he ends up in time where he's married to Hermione and they're very happy together. But he is from a time where he hates her. He doesn't even understand. He's like, why the fuck? Like, why would I marry her? Like, that's crazy. What's wrong? And then future is going back in time, and he's meeting old Hermione, and they're basically trying to have their relationship together where he's going back to woo her to marry him. And then he's going forward in time and being like, what the fuck is going on? And she's dealing with the absolute fucking chaos, and all of these things happen. And it is crazy, an emotional roller coaster. Because at one point he comes back and he's just so mean to her, and him from the past comes back to her in the future and is just such a fucking evil asshole. And then she has to deal with like the fallout from all that. And then he comes back to be present time and he's trying to make amends. And it's
heavy. It's a lot.
It is so heavy, but it's so fucking good.
The companion pieces are just as good.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We are on our last 2. Theonaut is a menace.
Okay, so I was gonna pick Secrets of Mass, but I didn't.
Okay.
It's between Certifiable and Bliss by Heiju 19.
Oh, okay. I did not pick that. I have not read that.
Oh, it
I'm
is
actually
so-
reading it. I'm reading In These Silent Days right now from Heiju 19. So what up, Jude?
Is one of my all-time favorites. So I'll read anything that she writes.
Yeah.
The concept is so good. It starts off on his birthday in 1997, and he's like struggling to fix the cabinet. Everything's going to shit for him. And so Theo, who he's not friends with anymore, they were before Hogwarts, but they aren't now, offered him a good night's rest for his birthday. He like has this gift that he inherited by his mother that no one knows about, where he can influence dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells Draco, he's like, I just want to help you. And Draco thinks he's like full of shit. And he's like, no. And Blaze is like, no, really. Blaze is so protective of Theo in this. And so Draco finally says yes. And he goes to sleep, and he wakes up married to Hermione, and they have a son, and it's Scorpius. And he lives a whole day as a husband to Hermione and his son. And like, mostly what's so emotional is his son for him. And then he wakes up the next day
back at Hogwarts
after seeing this life with Hermione and his son, and he has to go on like it never happened. And so you kind of see him struggling
his mind.
Yeah. And we we see it, the first part, we see it through his birthday. So it's like every year on his birthday, we get like a glimpse into his life until they're older. It's post-war. Harry comes to him and needs his help, him to help Hermione investigate the prison mistreatment. Gets stuck with Hermione. And throughout the fic, he struggles with it a lot. He begs Theo to like obliviate him. He has to watch her with Ron. Like, he is struggling hardcore. But then to watch them hit him kind of fall in love with her as adults, whole life, it is so different. It is such a different concept. It's very fast paced. It's not very long, I don't think. But yeah. It is so good. But Theo is a menace. I feel like he's like, no, I didn't do anything on purpose. I'm like, I don't believe you.
I don't fucking believe you.
That is a crock of shit. He was like, I just said happy. Like, I just influenced happiness. And I'm like, okay, sure. He's like, Draco's like, did you pick her? And he's like, no. And I'm like, oh
you liar.
Did you? But it is, it's such a good book.
Okay, so that's between Certifiable and Bliss?
Yes, by Hey Jude. Okay.
My pick is Divination for Skeptics by Olive E. Blake.
I have not read that either.
Okay, this is one of my favorite, like, comedy. Like, it is hilarious. This fic is, it's so fucking funny. I giggled myself like silly with this. The premise is the Weasley, George Weasley, ends up like inventing this charm that gives you your like magical compatibility percentage. So like if you're like on a date with somebody, you can check your compatibility. And so Hermione breaks up with Ron because their compatibility is very low. And she's so uptight. She's like, I only want to be with somebody is like 90% or more. Like, so she's very on the thing of like, I have to be with the most compatible. Well, so she ends up coming into contact with Draco, and their percentage starts out at like 10 or 18. It's abysmal. It's so sad. And she's like, see, I told you, like, you are like, he doesn't care. They hate each other for most of it. But Theo in this is an absolute nutter. He is obsessed with Harry Potter, and he will do anything in his power to get Harry to notice him. So he gets arrested like 20 times because Harry's an Auror. So he'll do anything. He'll rob a bank. He'll fucking commit fraud. He uses magic in front of muggles, like, just in order to get Harry's attention. And it is so fucking hilarious. He is just a nut, and I love every second. Yeah, he's a mess in this one, and it is amazing. All right, last one, last but very not least, is Badass Motherfucker Hermione Granger.
Okay, so it's a series, but it's the Somewhere in Time. It starts with Continuum. Mad Rose writing. It was my first dip into a different ship with Hermione. They're not separately.
Okay,
but there's something about this Hermione that I love. She's very morally gray. She does a lot of stuff.
She's sus.
Yeah. Have you read it?
I have not.
It is. Okay. So it's during the Battle of Hogwarts, and they're trying to escape the room of requirement, and something happens. There's like a miscalculation, and Hermione and Draco get sent back in time to September 1944 to Hogwarts with Tom Riddle. And so Tom gets very fascinated with Miss Hermione Granger. He's roommates with Draco, and Hermione and Draco get super close because they're the only ones that know
right thing.
But Hermione starts to get intrigued by Tom also. So I would read the triggers because it's a very dubcom type situations, but we get pretty much this whole timeline with them. And then there's a sequel, which is post-war, like in their original timeline, where Hermione is Tom Riddle's like wife-ish in a sense, and Draco's trying to get her back.
Oh shit. Okay.
It's a very much love triangle, but not really, because, you know, Hermione, and it's Tom Riddle.
It's Tom. And they didn't kill him?
No, they didn't.
I know.
There's a few things Hermione does. I'm like, girl. What?
Are you serious? You're like, girl, really?
You know what he turns into. What are you doing? But
she's like, I'm just doing me. I'm just being Miley. Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
She's a little messy.
We love a messy BAMF. Okay. Mine is a work in progress called Fallen Dynasty by Golden Sunflowers 98.
I follow her TikTok religiously. I read all of her little things that she makes and all the little videos. I eat it up, but I have not started it yet.
I love this one so much. I love me some golden sunflowers. She is like the sweetest. So yeah, but she's a hell of a writer. And her Hermione Granger. So I'm just going to read you this summary because I literally can't do it any better. 6 long years after the Battle of Hogwarts, war and bloodshed rages, and widowed Hermione Granger is practically the Order's personal martyr. The head soldier and spy, her days consist of nonstop trials of taking down Voldemort's army and going on secret missions to uncover secrets to ending the war once and for all. When her mission fails and she meets Reaper, Voldemort's right-hand man, she learns just how far she is willing to go for the cause, especially when he bears an uncanny resemblance to her dead husband, Draco Malfoy.
That's so good.
This shit gives me chills, like, when I think about it. It is
it's
so dark. She is such a badass in this. She is holding, she's like holding everything together, and they treat her so bad. Like, Ron and Harry are the enemy in this. Like, they are dirty fucking assholes. And she's such a badass in this. I can't even, she's a killer. We love her. She just wants to like fight everybody so bad. But so kind of like what happened is her and Draco were a team for the Order. So Draco turned sides early on and they teamed up and fell in love and got married. And they were like the assassin team for the Order. But in something happened and Ron and Harry turned on him and had him murdered. And they had a pact that if anything happened to either one of them while they were out on a mission, they would obliviate the other one with like a potion. It was like an obliviation potion. So they would erase all the memories of them. So they get attacked. He gets hit with a spell and she has to obliviate him.
Yeah.
And it is the worst fucking trauma. And then what happens is they know what happened. Harry and Ron know exactly what happened. They're the ones that orchestrated the hit in the first place. And they throw her in and make her go through all of this bullshit. And she's broken, but she is pissed. And it's so good.
Okay, maybe I only read very few whips because I get confused. So that might have to move up.
She's pretty consistent, but the way that she writes it, like the way that the story is progressing is so good because she's trying to keep it all together. And the Reaper character in this, it's almost like a High Reeve type thing. Like, he's just a murdering son of a bitch. And the only thing that's left of him is like the evil part, like the person that wants revenge. And he has this thing like where he just wants to get back to her. Like, it's this underlying, I guess, compulsion to get back to her. But he doesn't know why, because it's all of the memories have been taken away. And it's so freaking good.
That sounds so good.
Okay. Well, I don't think we didn't match on any of those. So we all win.
There we go. We both tried so hard, though.
We just wrecked 28 figs for y'all, and they were all amazing.
Yes.
All right. So all of these will be available in the show notes. I will link all of them because, you know what? That's the right fucking thing to do. So, Court, where can everybody find you on social media?
Mostly on TikTok, which is just Courtney Reinhardt. Everything's my name. I was not shy when I made my account. So you can find me with my real name. I'm on Instagram, but I don't really use it. And I'm always in the book club Discord. But mostly on TikTok is where I am.
We love it. Well, thank you for coming on and chatting about Failsafe and just having a fun old time.
Thank you for inviting me. It was fun.
All right. Well, with that, go read some goddamn Hermione. Bye.